Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, God, we give you praise, Lord, for your good and holy and wonderful God, and where would we be without you? Lord, there is no telling. Lord, we do pray that you would continue to lead us as a church and as individuals, that we can live out the gospel, that we can show the gospel through our lives, that we can tell others the gospel of Christ and Christ crucified. Lord, we know that you have chosen us, Lord, that you have led us, that you have guided us, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would lead us today in your truth and your word. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. If you would you please go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as Pastor Corey was saying, your outline says chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. But this week we're going to go verse 26 through chapter 2, verse 5. And the next week it'll be chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 16. I felt as I studied more and more into it that that's the way the Lord was leading, and that's the way the text itself was leading. And so, there we go. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised has God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And we're going to stop right there. Number one is God's divine providence in choosing. God's divine providence in choosing. And we go through these first verses here. Paul continues his thought about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world as much different. He said that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We see that God displays his power by calling the simple. God displays his power by calling the simple. It says, for consider your calling, brothers. We see again how Paul tries to reach the church by calling them brothers or brothers and sisters, as a familial, as a family. He's reaching to them as the church family. He tells them to consider their calling. He said, who were you when God called you? Think about who you were when God called you. See, they were so wrapped up in their division about which preacher they aligned with or who was more impressive. They were also wrapped up in the culture that taught them wisdom and philosophy, and teachers were praised for their public speaking ability. But Paul calls them back to God by reminding them that God didn't call them because they were something special in the world's eyes, by the world's standards. But God called them out of his wonderful grace, not because of who they were, but because of who God is. Paul just came out and said, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were noble birth. Most of you were nobodies before God called you, is basically what he's saying. You know? I don't know if it hurt their feelings or not, but maybe it should have. They were so wrapped up in what they thought the culture thought they should be that they completely kind of let go of what they were and who they were in Christ. Our culture and theirs are a lot alike in a lot of ways. If you think about the Corinthian church or just the city of Corinth in America, it's a lot of the same things. What can I do to get ahead? What can I do to get by? Who can I attach myself to that can advance me in a lot of ways? Wisdom was seen as power. But Paul said, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were strong. Most of you were weak and simple. If you look at the church who God calls, there are some powerful people in the churches. There are some powerful people who are saved. But mostly, if you look at most churches, the people who make up of God's calling, right, are simple, plain people. Why? Because God takes weak things and makes his strength shown in it. God takes base things and shows people how awesome he can be. Right? I always said the person that I pitied the most was someone that made it by in life without ever thinking they needed God. People who are self-sufficient, who go about life never even thinking about needing God. I pity that person. Because without knowing that you need God, without truly understanding what God has done in your life, then you will never know God. I can get by on my own, or Christianity is a crutch kind of thing. I'm strong enough to do it. I don't need some God to help me out. This person I pity. That is why God rescues the drug addict. He redeems the lost. He heals the hurting. He comforts the grieving, because only God can do that. If you've never went through things in your life that will bring you to your knees, to have to look up to God, for him to bow you down before him. People may say, the cross of Christ is foolishness. But to us who have been redeemed, we know that it is the power of God. You see, because it is he that gets the glory. It is he that gets the praise and honor. It is he, when we are saved, gets all glory. Paul is telling his church, get your priorities right. Don't get swept up in the rat race of society. Stop looking at the world for worldly wisdom, but to look to God for true wisdom and power. Look at your calling. We see again and again in this text the providence of God in his choosing. God chose the Corinthians. God chooses us. We do not choose God, not on our own. For on our own, we cannot choose him, and we never would. But it is he who chooses us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We are chosen and saved through the will and the grace of God. God doesn't always choose the best and the brightest. God doesn't always choose the most significant or the most athletic or the best looking. God chooses those he wills to accomplish his will. Why? So that no one may boast in his presence. Verse 31 says, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul talks about boasting a lot. I think he might have had a problem with boasting. Just saying. In almost all of his letters, he speaks about boasting. He speaks not to boasting. And so when he's telling out this, what to write in this letter, he's probably saying, yeah, I need to hear this too. I need to hear that I shouldn't boast too. I think a lot of times that when we hear something, we think, well, I wish this person would hear this. They really should hear this, but when reality, we should hear it, because God has us here to hear it. So let us think what God can do in hearing it, not what somebody else might get from it, right? You think this is something he might have struggled with, boasting. Like in Ephesians 2:8, for grace you have been saved through faith and not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. In 2 Corinthians 11, he speaks a lot about boasting. But he also boasts in his trials and his weaknesses. Right? Instead of boasting in his strengths, probably what he has a problem with, he boasts in his trials and his weaknesses. And he boasts in Christ. He brags about Jesus. Galatians 6:14, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." So when we brag about ourselves and our own accomplishments, know that it shouldn't be that way. But when we do boast, when we do brag, brag about the Lord. Brag on the Lord and how wonderful things He has done. It is easy to find ourselves bragging about what we have done. It's easy to get caught up in that. What our children, our grandchildren have done. But how often do we brag about the Lord? I know that if Jesus didn't save me, death or prison was what was waiting for me. It just was. Maybe that's not your story, but maybe being self-sufficient and headed for hell was. I don't know your story. Not fully. But God does. Maybe you do. Maybe you can assume or think about what could have happened if you weren't snatched out of the world and brought into Christ. Maybe you're living a life pleasing to the world, but not to God, was what you were headed for. And maybe you don't have any idea. Maybe you don't know. But God's choosing you and saving you and keeping you and redeeming you is something to brag about. That is the greatest thing to brag about. So as Pastor Corey was talking about your one, who's your one? Well, I don't know what to say to this person. Tell them about Jesus. Tell that one about what Jesus has done in your life. Snatching you out of hell. Setting you in course for heaven. Bringing you into a relationship with Almighty God who loves you and keeps you. God took me out of darkness and into His marvelous light is something you could say. He raised me, a dead man, from death to life. You see, the dead can't raise themselves. Paul said in Ephesians 2 that everyone was dead in their trespasses and sins. But then in verses 4 through 6 it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We look at verse 29, "So that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Everyone will stand before God. Or everyone, that's right. Everyone will come before God. I don't know if they'll stand or not. I know me, I'll probably be on my face. I know most people will. But everyone will come before God, and in His presence, no one will be able to boast or brag about anything that they have done. No one, whether good or bad. Why? Because it is God who has chosen, and God who wills, and all glory is His. Even our best works are as filthy rags. We see in verse 30, "And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." It is all because of Christ that we are in Him. It is because of the cross and the resurrection. You see, the Corinthians were getting away from the cross and getting away from the resurrection. And Paul was saying, come back to the basics. Come back to Christ. Come back to the cross. Get your priorities right. You're following worldly wisdom. You're following the worldly ways. When true wisdom is in the simplicity and the weakness of the cross. But because of the message of the cross became wisdom to us, we have righteousness and sanctification and wisdom in Christ. Number 2, faith rests in the power of God. Faith rests in the power of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. In the ancient world, a public speaker's initial visit to the city was crucial in establishing their reputation. Public speakers' orators would compete for applause and offer entertainment to diners in between courses at the best banquets. You see, competitive showmanship was the order of the day. So Paul comes into this setting. He was very unimpressive. He comes into this setting with trembling and fear. He comes into this setting where a bold speaker with eloquent wisdom, with eloquent words, he comes into the setting and he basically preaches one thing: the life and the works of Christ. Christ and His crucifixion. Could Paul have boldly preached and competed with the orators of the day? Sure he could. But he didn't. Because he wasn't just trying to be wise for his own glory. He wanted the message of the cross and it for them to stand on it. He didn't want them to look at him and say, "Wow, he's a great speaker." He didn't want them to look at him and say, "Well, I want to follow him because he's a good teacher." Like they did. That's what they did back in the day. They would hear good speakers, they would hear good preachers, and they would just attach themselves to them. And they would follow him, and they would give him money, and they'd give him applause. And this was part of their wisdom and philosophy of the day. And so if Paul went in there and if he preached the cross, if he preached Christ, but he preached it in a way that brought himself honor, that brought himself the spotlight, then the people would be focused on him and not actually on what he was talking about. Right? And so Paul says, this is not about me. It's not about me. I don't want the focus on me. I want the focus on what it's supposed to be on, and that's Christ and Him crucified. So he came in there, sweaty palms, probably shaky and trembling and lowly. And he preached Christ. And he preached Him crucified. And he continued to preach Christ and Him crucified. And what that means is he preached on the life and the works of Christ, right? Jesus and Him crucified. And anything that came out of that was glory to God. Because it took the Spirit of God to raise the dead people from death to life. He didn't want all these fake followers following Him around because of how He could speak. You notice that Jesus did this too. He had all these followers. He said, "Well, let's go to somewhere else. I want to preach to some other people." Because he knew that a lot of people that were following him at the time were just following because he did miracles. And maybe he might feed them or he might heal them. Right? So Jesus even did this. He went away from the crowds, from the fake followers of his. And so that's why Paul didn't preach boldness and preach like he could. Because he wanted people to truly be following him for Christ. Simple message, and he did it in a simple way. And it was the Spirit of God who chose, and it was the Spirit of God who saved, the Spirit of God who redeemed. We are never saved by the craftiness of the preacher. We are never saved by the skill of public speaking. We are never saved by anything or how I present the message to you. We are saved by the Holy Spirit when He grips your heart and He grips you and changes your heart. The best speaker in the world, as you can tell, I'm not him, but the best speaker in the world cannot save you. No person can save anyone. It is only God who saves. It is only God who redeems. This is why Paul preached the way he did. See, because it's not about him, it's about Christ. It's not about me, it's about Christ. It's not about Pastor Corey, it's about Christ. So if I stand up here and I give you the most eloquent speech you have ever heard, and I touched every nerve in your body, right? I made you laugh, I made you cry, you were just feeling all these different emotions. You clapped and you cheered. But I didn't preach the word, you would leave here the same as you came in. You would not be edified. You would not be convicted by the Spirit. And you, if you were lost, you wouldn't be saved. Because no matter how good of a speaker stands up here and speaks, if he's not preaching Christ and Him crucified, he's not preaching the Word of God, then it has no spiritual value whatsoever. And see, Paul knew that. So Paul, as the great evangelist, as the great church planner, he didn't want glory for himself, which he knew would come if he came in preaching any other way than the way he did. But he wanted the Spirit of God to do his work and to save the lost and to build a church. Our faith rests in God. Our faith rests in the power of God. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said that his speech and his message were unimpressive in his first impression in Corinth. But Paul was in good company. Think about this. Moses claimed lack of eloquence in Exodus. Isaiah had unclean lips. We see that in Isaiah 6. And Jeremiah did not know how to speak, for he was only a youth. God regularly chooses those through their weaknesses to show His strength. As I have said before, my greatest fear before coming to Christ was speaking in front of people. God can show His strengths in your weaknesses. So maybe you're not strong in an area. Maybe there's something that you don't think you can do. Now, I'm not going to take a verse out of context and say through Christ's strength you can do that because He gives you strength. But I will say this. Faith in God rests in His power and not yours. Following Christ rests in His power and His strength and not yours. Faith in Christ rests in Him and not you. God can use your weaknesses to show His strength. Our faith should not be in ourselves, but in God. If your faith is in yourself, you are lacking. If you're a Christian and your faith is in yourself, then your identity is in the wrong person. You see, because if we are Christ's, then our identity is Christ. I'm Michael, yes, but I am Christ's. That's who I am. I am His. I'm not my own. And if you're Christ, then you are His and not your own. Our confidence should be in God and not ourselves. Lack of self-esteem. Well, guess what? You're not yours. You're Christ's. So your self-esteem should be in Christ. And our hope should not be in ourselves and the things that we can accomplish, but in Christ and what He has already accomplished on the cross. So if your hope is in your job, if your hope is in your ability, if your hope is anything other than Christ, then it's time to refocus. It's time to, as Paul was doing to the Corinthians, get back to the basics. Get back to the cross and Christ crucified. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we're going to have a time of invitation. I pray that you would come and I would talk to you about that, or you can come and talk to Brother Corey and me after service or in the next few days or what have you. If you need prayer, I'd love to talk to you. But if your focus is on something other than Christ, then today is the day to get your focus back on Him. If your focus is on even your spouse and not on Christ, then guess what? You're not going to be able to love your spouse like you could if your focus was on Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. God, we give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, I pray that your word was heard and received. God, I pray that you would lead us in Christ, that you'd build up this body, that we would become a body of believers after your own heart, God. I pray that the men would lead our families well in Christ, that we would be the spiritual leaders of our house, that we would lead in Christ and our family would follow in Christ. God, I pray that you would help us to have confidence in Christ. Know that it's not about us, it's about you. That you can take our weaknesses and make them strengths. That you can take whatever it is, God, and turn it into your glory. I will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.